Our next guest is about to become a he's about to become a taxpayer. Well, that's not true. You're already a taxpayer.
Yeah.
But on Friday, Kurt Larson of the Toronto Sun will become a Canadian citizen. Well done.
Well done. Welcome to our land.
Well done. Would this have happened if your homeland hadn't elected a complete moron as president? Would you still have done this?
Well, I don't want to get too political here, but I happened to meet a beautiful girl in college who was Canadian, and she brought me back here. So that's the long story short.
There you go.
So if that's a story, then Barker should be there at the ceremony with you, shouldn't
yeah.
he? Yeah. Exactly the same story.
See, we got to get Barker Canadian citizenship. It's not working.
Maybe we could slip him in there. You got to fill out some papers, I think. I'm not sure there's time.
Yeah. Congratulations, by the way.
No, yeah, a long time coming. It's been about 10 years, but eventually you pay the money, you fill out the paperwork, and you do all the right things, and this country is very welcoming.
Did you have to do a quiz and all that stuff?
It's a 20-question quiz.
Right.
Took me about 5 minutes because I think it's they don't try and make it too difficult. Let's just say that.
Okay, so it wasn't like you didn't have to.
Saskatoon, one of the answers? It'd have to be, right? Something like that.
Well, you know what, though? I feel like I'm lucky because I heard the old test like 30, 40 years ago was actually a face-to-face conversation with a judge or something.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah, so I got off easy.
Well, that's good. Congratulations and welcome aboard.
Thank you very much.
Now you got to explain yourself.
I was waiting for this.
Well, no, I mean, look, with all fairness, your headline writers did you no great favors in your story. It's an interesting argument. See, I'm kind of the opinion. It's great to win a championship. That's true. But man, if you set a record that stands the test of time, I mean, there's something to be said for that as well, isn't there?
Well, that's kind of what I was getting at. I think when I explain it here, we'll probably be a little bit more on the same page. First of all, I wasn't trying to by any means. And I didn't write that MLS Cup doesn't mean anything or that the supporter shield, which is handed out the regular season winner, means more than an MLS Cup, because I think an MLS Cup for this city, if TFC can win it, it's going to do much more than, you know, if TFC wins the league, which they're going to. What I was just trying to say is that if you have in sports, for me, if you can do something that nobody else has and it's a record that stands the test of time, like you said, and 30, 40, 50 years from now, somehow TFC still has the best season ever, least amount of losses, most points. I think in the future, people will point to that as a greater accomplishment than, say, winning MLS Cup for the first time.
Yeah, look, I don't disagree with you. Maybe the memories are a little too fresh of the last MLS Cup, when how it was won. The kind of crapshoot of a single game championship that ended up being decided on penalties. If you want to measure Seattle's accomplishment last year versus setting an all-time record and winning the league, I would take the league, personally.
Yeah, well, for me, the MLS Cup this year is going to be big in the sense that, listen, the casual fan who's watching this match, which is probably going to, if they get there, which is watching this match, three-quarters of them aren't going to really care that TFC set a record. They aren't going to care that, you know, TFC won the supporters' shield. For those people, the way to bring those people in and get them behind the team is to win an MLS Cup and win a championship in that one-off final that's so exciting. But I think if you ask a lot of fans, and I have, you know, it's a lower percentage. About a quarter of the people I've asked or I've polled just through Twitter and various conversations have said that they agree that, you know, the run that TFC has been on and the way they've won games and going after this record now, it's brought a lot of attention, and they actually think it might be more meaningful in the future than winning the championship right now.
Now, you point out in your column a couple of days ago, too, that just the way that Toronto FC has dominated this season, sort of what they're on pace to do. It could be the most dominant season this league has seen, to put it bluntly.
It could be the most dominant season we're ever going to see. I mean, it's a league that's built on parity. Unless for some reason the format switches in the future and the league lets the team, you know, start spending $50 million on their rosters, then, you know, I don't think we're ever going to see anything like this. And it's one of the most remarkable things is TFC hasn't really been in a lot of close games, in my opinion. Yeah, they've lost three times. One of those losses was without key players on the road. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the games, they haven't really been in question. You know, they've been in control. They've gone on the road and won big. They've won games without players at home. I think they're outscoring teams something like 35-6. It's been ridiculous and something we've never seen in this league before. And a lot of league pundits now are starting to say that even without a championship, this is probably the best team to ever play in Major League Soccer's 22-year history.
So where is there, Kurt, is there any Okay, let's find the dark cloud here. If they cruise through this season, finish this season as essentially untested, which is kind of what we're talking about, that they have, they have won many games that were not close. They have they've dominated the league in a way that no one's ever dominated before. Are there any kind of pitfalls as we get into the playoffs because of that? Rather, that they didn't have to break a sweat during the regular season.
Well, I think the dark cloud of the pitfall is that Major League Soccer's playoff system is so unforgiving. You know, you go on the road once to Yankee Stadium and play New York City in that field, and you never know what's going to happen. Or you go to Red Bull Arena in New York, they somehow win 3-1 in a game that's not that close, and then all of a sudden you're out of the playoffs after this magical season. So, you know, I think if we're looking at a dark cloud, and it's kind of why I wrote this piece that, you know, without an MLS Cup, the season still means something. It's because when you go and you play in these playoffs, bad things happen to good teams a lot. I mean, you don't really see the Supporter Shield winner win MLS Cup all that often. So it's something that fans going into these playoffs, they're going to be wary of.
You know, now that we've seen this team in the middle of this successful run and on the verge of this really successful season, Curtis, is there something about this that has surprised you? You know, look, the Sebastian Giovinco, Jose Altidore, Michael Bradley, we know what they are. Victor Vasquez, the guy who was highly touted, we know what he's been. I mean, to me, the biggest difference, the biggest difference probably from the start of the second half of last season is just I don't get that nervous feeling whenever the ball's in TFC's end anymore. So, to me, that's the biggest difference between this team and the teams that went before.
Yeah, I mean, and you're kind of speaking to the dominance there. I mean, if you're asking me, the most important or most impressive aspect of this team right now is how teams just can't touch them. They don't know how to defend them. There's too many weapons, and the way they play, it's unlike anything I've ever seen from any MLS team. The movement is at a high level. You have Jozy Altidore and Giovinco able to drop into midfield by design and combine, and they lose defenders that way. And then you have two wide players in Nicholas Hasler and Justin Morrow who can exploit the wings. You have Victor Vasquez who pops up and can play the final pass now. And the defense is so much improved after the addition of Chris Mavinga that there's not a hole in this roster right now. Every team in the league admits that. They always talk about how TSC is the best team in the league. And quite frankly, I think teams are puzzled whenever they come to BMO Field about how to play against this team.
What do you think, you know, obviously they were within a hair of winning the championship last year and should have won it last year, should have won the MLS Cup. What happens, and this team has been incredibly well supported since the day it arrived. It was supported through some god-awful seasons. It is a part of the fabric, sports fabric of this city. You know, so none of that kind of knee-jerk what's it going to mean to soccer stuff. But, it will be, there's still kind of a tipping point aspect, isn't there, to if this team does complete the run this year, wins that championship, you bring a lot of casual people in for that one game, watching it on television.
Yeah, I mean,
where does it go, Kurt?
I think the tipping point is just whether or not this goes truly mainstream or not.
Yeah,
people like to talk about it being mainstream right now. It's still not. It's much bigger than it was even 3 or 4 years ago. We're talking about 28,000 fans at a game now. I never thought that was going to be possible even 4 or 5 years ago when the stadium was much smaller. But still, the tipping point has to be winning an MLS Cup on national TV, doing it convincingly, with all these people, millions watching. And finally, truly getting over that hump. Like I said, the season's not going to be lost if they don't do it. It's just that you're going to lose all those casual viewers that are really just tuning in for that one moment. Mm.
Kurt, listen, we're going to let you run. Really appreciate you doing this. It was the piece that got a lot of people talking. And all kidding aside, congratulations on Friday, and well done.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.